Down in Texas, unexpected vacation days this week for thousands of school kids and also for thousands more around the country because of concerns about the swine flu. We're calling it H1N1, of course. Down in Fort Worth, all 144 schools were closed because of one single suspected case. Hundreds of other schools are closed nationwide. As the number of confirmed cases in the country continues to rise, precautions and reactions and overreactions have begun to affect everyone's lives, even in places where there's no H1N1 yet. So we're joined now by Monica Davey, the Chicago bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times, and by Clint Bond. He's a spokesperson for that Fort Worth Independent School District. Mr. Bond, let me start with you. You're the spokesman down there in Fort Worth. You've got about 80,000 students in the Fort Worth Independent School District. Walk us through the decision to close, if you would.
It was an agonizing decision that was not made in a vacuum. It was made in concert with the public health officials of our local county, as well as consultation with state health officials and the state education commissioner. And it was a day-long process that we made on Wednesday. And initially, our plans were to close four schools, but then the information that the health department received, they recommended that we close the entire school district. And when we did close, we had one probable case, and then we had three suspected cases. That has since risen to one confirmed case and seven probable cases.
And can you give us just real quickly a readout of that day-long meeting with you, your bosses, the superintendents, I'm sure the school board, maybe the public health officials? Give us a readout of what that meeting was like, pros versus cons, advantages versus disadvantages of closing the schools.
Well, obviously, the biggest disadvantage is we're in the business of educating children. And if you close a school district, then you're not educating children, you're not accomplishing your mission. So that's the biggest disadvantage and the biggest con. The pros, obviously, are that the safety of the children is our top concern. So whether we close a school, whether we just close the doors to a school and keep the kids inside, I mean, safety is paramount. So those were the two items that the superintendent, who ultimately is responsible for this decision, that she had to weigh. Again, she didn't do it alone. Tarrant County Health Department stood right there next to her. She consulted with the state officials. She consulted with her local school board. And she took all of the facts from her cabinet and decided that that was the best course of action for everyone involved.
All right, Monica Davey from the New York Times there in Chicago. Let me bring you in. You and your colleagues have a great story in the New York Times this morning, and you and your colleagues interviewed people from all across the country, from New York to San Francisco. What are you seeing? Near panic, near apathy, all of the above?
It really is all of the above. You have people out there who really, this isn't affecting their lives one bit, and they're sort of mocking almost of the people who are feeling most upset about this. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people who are, you know, buying up all the surgical face masks and who are busy making decisions about whether to keep their children out of daycare, out of schools. And we're talking about schools that have no cases so far. So these are the types of things. I mean, really, people are making little decisions. Do I touch the elevator buttons?
So based on what you've gleaned from your interviews all across the country and what you heard Mr. Bond from down there in Fort Worth talk about, what would people glean from the closing of a school with only a couple of cases? Certainly a public health advantage, certainly a disadvantage because you have to educate kids. Does that push people's meter to the panic end of things, that they better start duct taping the windows? How do people react to it?
Well, we did talk to some people down in Fort Worth, some parents down there. It's, again, it's a huge range of reactions. You've got the people who say, well, you know, that seems over the top. It seems silly to be keeping our kids out of school and thus keeping us out of work. And then on the other hand, you have people who say, well, better safe than sorry, and for whom this actually makes them a little more jumpy about the whole thing. They're thinking that maybe it's not safe to be walking around in Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. You don't know what to do exactly.
All right. Well, Mr. Bond, I want to ask you about the rationale for the date. It's May 11th, right, that you're set to reopen. Is that correct?
Well, it's through May 8th is when we're closed. We're unsure at the moment if activities may resume over that ensuing weekend, but certainly school, we're planning on it resuming on May 11th.
Okay, so that's basically a week off. Was there some kind of public health imperative that they said a week would be sort of fitting with the what they know about the activity of flu viruses, or was it just kind of a convenient week off school that you chose?
No, it was in concert, again, with the public health officials. That was their recommendation for the duration of this hiatus. We are educators. We're not health officials, so we're taking their expert advice.
All right, Monica, what's your takeaway on this? How do you think – I know you said that reactions range from near panic to near apathy. Do you get an overall sense of how people are handling this, even if they're upset about it and taking their kids out of daycare? Do we have any sense that people's lives are really being affected? They might get on the phone and make two calls about daycare and that's it for the day. Or is it taking over their lives in any sense?
I think that it depends where you are. If you're in a place where they've found a probable or confirmed case, I was surprised at just how obsessive people can be over this. It when you start talking about it affecting someone you knew in your school or in your workplace, then suddenly it seems to be a little more overwhelming to people.
All right. Monica Davey, Chicago Bureau Chief for the New York Times, has a great story interviewing people about their reactions to H1N1. Clint Bond is spokesman for the Fort Worth Independent School District. They've closed 144 schools in their district because of H1N1.
And Todd, of course, we're going to have a lot more reporting on the flu story a little later on from Mexico. I'm Daljit Dhaliwal, and it is, of course, being widely reported, if you haven't heard the news, that the Supreme Court Justice David Souter is planning to retire in June after more than 18 years on the court. So we want to know, who do you think President Obama should nominate to take his place?
My name is Vernon from New Windsor. I'd like to nominate Ted Shaw, former attorney. Lead attorney for the NAACP. He had Jack Greenberg as a professor at Columbia, and he law clerked under Thurgood Marshall. He now works for Corvass and Swain, and I believe you had him on the other day on your show.
Well, he certainly put a lot of thought into that one. Tell us your pick at 1-888-MY-TAKE or MyTakeAway at thetakeaway.org.
All right, we do want to hear from you. We got an email from listener Zach who said, on a purely definitional level, would it be fair to say that we had a long-running chickenpox pandemic? We've been talking a lot. I guess we have. We've been talking about H1N1 and the flu as well. Zach has a take on chickenpox. I guess it has been a long-running pandemic. I'm Todd Zwillick.
And I'm Daljit Dhaliwal.